Blog Talk Radio.
Nehemiah 8 and 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be Amen. Let the church say Amen. Let the church say Amen. Let the church say Amen. God has spoken, so let the church say Amen. Yeah. Let the church, let them say Amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say Amen. God has spoken, so let the church say Amen. Lift your hands, lift your hands. God has spoken, so let the church say Amen. No. Thank you, Lord.
Oh.
God has spoken, so let the church say
everybody. Well,
My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad you have stopped by the show today. We have an exciting topic today to talk about. But before we start, I'll say a few words of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for covering us with the blood of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we are committed to be families that please you, dear Heavenly Father, with our lives to always be godly examples, dear Heavenly Father. Because we owe that to you, God, who saved us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for our children, dear Heavenly Father. They are a reward from you, and they are happy, healthy, and obedient to your word. God, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for people everywhere this day, dear Heavenly Father. Cover them with the blood of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father. And as we go forth, dear Heavenly Father, with the topic today, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be on the line, dear Heavenly Father. It's not about Satan, dear Heavenly Father, but it's all about you. On brick and bread and the word of God, dear Heavenly Father, for your people, dear Heavenly Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today we're talking about brokenness. You know, I know when people read that first little word, brokenness, they thought about just their finances. But no, we as men and women of God is broke, can be broke, have brokenness in our life. You know, it's painful, costly, and difficult. You know, it's no surprise that most people resist being broken in your spirit. You know, the only motive that can compel us to die to self is the cross of Christ Jesus. You'll find that in Philippians 2:5-8. You know, Paul stated, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature, God did not consider equally with God something to be grasped, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You know, today, as we talk about brokenness, you know, perhaps no principles in God's word is less understood than that of brokenness. You know, brokenness does not mean being broke financially. It is a condition in which God allows circumstances to control our lives to the point that we must depend totally upon God. Have you ever been broken in your spirit that you know you couldn't depend on nobody but God? All the things that you've been through or you're going through right now, that if it had not been for God on your side, where would you be today? You know, it would seem that the greatest God planned for a person, the greater the brokenness. Hallelujah. I think I should say that again. It would seem that the greatest God's plan for a person, the greater the brokenness. You know, the life of the Apostle Paul reflects both great power and great brokenness. Yet Paul never considered his personal circumstances as punishment. He constantly asserted that his suffering was a result of service to Christ. And if you turn over to 2 Corinthians 1 and 5, it tells you, "But just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." You know, when you think about brokenness, you know, I'm going to go into the purpose of brokenness. You know, in God's wisdom, he realized what it takes to keep us attuned to his direction. He then allows problems to occur that will break our will and keep us dependent upon him. I think I'll say that one again, because we all have been in that situation. He allows problems to occur that will break our will. You know, our will have to be broken sometimes. We're so strong-willed in so many areas of our life that, you know, he keeps us dependent upon him. We can't do anything without him when you think about it. You know, once a Christian makes a total surrender of that old self to God, then, and only then, God can begin to use himself, continue to serve us. You know, God must allow testing to continue in order to kill the old self. You know, we have to let the flesh die and let the spirit rise up. We got to let that fleshly man and woman die. We got to die to self, that will that we've been having, we've been holding on to. We got to let it die, where God can come on and do what he needs to do in us, through us, and for us. Hallelujah. You know, many times we pray, "God, mold me into a vessel you can use." How many times we as men and women of God, we say that? And then when God's works begin, we want to run. We want to give up the towel because, you know, throw in the towel because it's so hard. Because now you remember now, you have prayed. You have asked God to mold you, shape you into what he wants you to be. Not what you want to be, but what God would have you to be. And when when God starts working on you on the inside, he starts molding you and shaping you. We want to take our running. We want to throw in the towel. But no, God, it's hurting. It's hurting. You got to kill the flesh. You got to kill that flesh. That flesh do not want to come to subjection. You got to kill it. You know, in James 1, 2, and 3, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produce endurance." You got to endure like a good soldier. If you want the perfection of your faith, it comes by way of testing. We're going through some testing right now, each and every one of us. Whether you're being tested through the Holy Ghost, you're being tested on your job, you're being tested in your families, you are going through a test. If you have not had the test today, just keep getting up saying good morning. It surely will come. And when you take that test of God, be ready. That's all I can tell you. Because you've been praying now. You've been crying out to him. You wanted him to shape you. You wanted him to mold you. You wanted him to do a thoroughly brainwashing inside of you. That's a nugget I picked up in a word this week. Brainwashing. Each one of us need to be brainwashed. We need to be washed a lot of things that we have picked up, things we have been saying, that I was out of context of the word of God. We've been having things been embedded in our consciousness and subconscious 20, 30 years, 40 years, that we was going down the wrong path. So ask God today, Brainwash me, girl. Not just clean me up. Wash me thoroughly and thoroughly from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. We're talking about brokenness today. Because when you got to do an assignment for God, to make sure you do that assignment, you're going to be broken. You're not going to do business as usual, church as usual. Do you want to sit on that pew and die the rest of your life going straight to hell? Or do you want to rise up and be all God have called for you to be? You know, sometimes you got to steal away. Sometimes you got to break from some things, for some people, from some, you know, even from jobs, from family. Sometimes you got to make that break, because when God starts working with you and that brokenness come in, some things you've been saying and hearing on the phone, you can't hear that no longer. You got to be broken. All that gossip and all that other tailback, that's got to be broken out of you. That lying, that's got to be broken out of you. That stealing, that cheating, that's got to be broken up out of you. You want God to have the best. You want to be God's best. So that means he got to go in, pull out something, uproot something. Some things you just been saying, I'm born this way, I'm going to live this. Oh, no, 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 no. You've got to be broken today if you want to follow Christ. You know, the principle of brokenness is easy to teach than to live. I know as you listen to me today, you're saying, she don't know what I'm going through. She don't know what I'm being broken of. I guarantee you, I'm like the man here in Houston that said, Mattress Man, I guarantee you this, we all have went through something, and quite a bit that we had to be broken from in this life to get to where we are. We didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to become an overseer. We didn't wake up one day and say, I'm a pastor. We didn't wake up one day and say, I'm a teacher. I'm an evangelist. I'm a bishop. I'm a prophet. I'm an apostle. You was broken through some habits that you had to leave. You had to get rid of or walk away from some friends, some family members that was keeping you separated from God. There came the brokenness. You had to be alone by yourself for many days and nights, seeking God's face to get to where he wants you to be. My, 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 my. You know, teaching is very clear in the lives of those whom God has chosen to use throughout the Bible. The greater the service to God, the greater the potential for ego and self-centeredness. You know, that's the greatest, the necessities for maintaining a God-first spirit. Brokenness is an apparent term for those who've been molded into Christ's image. In the Word of God, you are made in Christ's image. So to fulfill what God has for you to do, you have to become broken. You have to come out of some of the things that you've been in. You know, clearly the purpose of brokenness is to make a Christian total depend on God and separate from this world. My, 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 my. I think I need to rephrase that one again. Brokenness is time for those being molded. Don't you want to be molded in shape to what God wants you to be? So that means we have to, you know, be molded into Christ's image. You know, clearly, the purpose of brokenness is to make a Christian totally depend on God. And you got to depend on God. There's no way around it. If you want God in your life, and you want the blessings that God has, you got to depend on God. You know, in 1 Peter 5 says, hold on a moment, please. today by being broken. Brokenness. See, a call just came in for a blessing. You got to break yourself and be submissive to God, what God wants you to do. And I'm going to go back to 1 Peter 4:4 and 5. It says, and in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and that you, meaning you that's listening today, they shall give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and dead. My, we got, each one of us got to give an account to God. And you know, if you're wondering how brokenness can be accomplished, well, I'm glad you asked. You know, when I thought about this program and I asked God how to speak on it, I said a lot of people going to think about just finances, being broke, financial, money-wise. But you know, I'm going to bring that up too. Since finances is one of the most often discussed topics in the New Testament, it would seem obvious that God would use that area to test our obedience to him. You know, in our societies, we have a value rating system that is based upon material worth. This is just as true within Christianity as it is in the unbelieving world. You know, fortunately, God's value system is based on spiritual worth and is measured by our willingness to accept his direction. And if anybody would like to come on and talk about this, just hit one on your keypad. I will be glad to hear from you all today. You know, the conflict between materialistic and Christianity is addressed directly by the Lord. And you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 24th verse. And the word of God says, no one can serve two masters, but either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. My. You know, some people want to serve the teacher, the pastor, the neighbor, the co-worker, the boss. But here the word of God says you cannot serve God and mammon. You got to make your mind up. If you want to straddle the fence or come on the right side of the fence, well, you're going to serve God, because God got everything. He will give you everything that you need. You know, many Christians have had that ego. You know how a lot of y'all be on an ego trip? Shattered by financial setbacks. How many of us been shattered by financial setbacks? All of us. It's nobody can tell you that they have not been shattered by a financial setback. You know, some respond by panicking to the point that they abandon their Christian principles and cheat and lie to protect their security. You know some people like that. Others fall back in defeat and lose their trust in God. That's not a time to stop trusting in God. You're supposed to trust in God ever the more, because he said he will supply your every need. He is your provider, no matter what situation you're going through today. No matter what bill you have before you. No matter if your rent needs paying, you don't have money, you don't see no way out. But if you know Jesus, he is the way out. See, friends will tell you, I give it to you. Family will tell you, I give it to the loan company, tell you, I give it to you, and all this here. But remember, you got all them people to pay back. So when you go to Jesus, you will get what you need automatically, a miracle and everything. He's going to send your way back with no interest rate, no none of that, that you got to pay back. This all just stemming, telling you about brokenness. You know, some live a life of fear, and as a result, they lose their witnesses. Oh, my. Others accept God's authority over their lives and use this as an opportunity to trust God. When you know your authority, hallelujah, Hallelujah. When you know your authority, your power, your dominion, hallelujah, ooh, glory over the lie, you use this as an opportunity to trust God more fully and to demonstrate to others that they serve God. You know, as was said of Job, through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. You know, the first time something happened, we want to say, you know, God did it, or we say the enemy did it. But when you got authority to speak to that mountain, when you got authority, power, and dominion to let know that circumstances is not going to hold you back. If I would start telling you today some things just these 2 weeks that I've been going through could have caused me to be broken, throw in the towel, give up. No, no, no. I went straight to the rock. I went straight to the word of God. God, you said in your word that I'm the trust in you. You said you are the provider. You said you are the lender and not the borrower. You are my everything. God, I just thank you. I thank you for what you're doing, God. I just thank you. If we have anybody in the listening audience would like to comment on this brokenness today, feel free to hit one on your keypad because I would love to hear something you all saying. Not just me doing all the teaching today, because we all have been broken in our life, broken in spirit, broken finances, you know, just broken. But it's time for you to get up. We come into a close of a year. And just think how God has brought you from January to December. And all in between, all the things that had happened. But God still got you here. He made a way where man said there was no way. God is the way. Hallelujah. You know, until a Christian is broken to the point of total dependence on God, he is not really useful in God's plan. You know, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You'll find that in Philippians 3:7. I think I'll say that one again because that's helping me even more. Until a Christian is broken to the point of total dependent on God. I know some people listening on this line right now, their only source is God. That's who they depend on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, is Jesus Christ. And they will give you testimony. If it had not been for God on my side, where would I be? If it had not been for God that woke me up this morning, started me on my way, give me what I needed, when I didn't know where my bread was coming from, where I didn't know where my light bill was going to be paid. I didn't sit here all broken up in a corner having a pity party with myself. I got up and started taking the authority that God gave me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, poor Christians are willing to share an experience with brokenness. Well, I don't mind sharing with you the things that I've been through and the source that I went through to get me where I am now is through Jesus Christ. He touching somebody else's heart to see a little old me, a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody on the word of God. You know, God will pick you up, dust you off, put your feet on solid ground. Ooh, you know, y'all should tell more testimonies. Let people give God the praise because it all belongs to God, not to us. You know, so often we equate problems with sin. And, it, you know, like Jesse Clark concluded that those who have problems are being punished by God. If that's so, then Paul was the worst sinner in the history of Christianity. He was flogged 5 times. Did you hear me? He was just, oh Lord, five times beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, in prison, and deserted. How many of you all been beaten today? You just been beaten down. You've been beaten down so you don't even know how to raise your head up. You've been stoned with people's mouth that done stoned you. Some of you might not have been shipwrecked, and some of you have. Some of y'all been in prison. Not just prison behind the iron walls and the brick wall, but some been in prison in their mind. And deserted. You've been deserted by family members, friends, husbands, wives, children. You know how it feels to have all these things. So just think about how Paul felt on all that he went through. And yet he said that he was in God's will and was comforted by God. You know, therefore we do not lose heart, but through our inner man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. You find that in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. It's in your Bibles if you have not tore it out. You know, God desires to break our ego and pride, not our spirit. Indeed, in the spirit, we should grow stronger under affliction. The purpose is to strip us of all self-gratification. But he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. For not he who commands himself is approved, but whom the Lord commands. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 17th through the 18th verse. You know, a man or woman can accomplish a great deal in his own, her own strength and ability, but the lasting effect is minimal. You know, as I was going over that in my head and reading the scriptures, you know, it's not time to just run or relax. Our first reaction to the pressure that accomplished brokenness is to run. No. Unless you run into the Word of God, don't run off nowhere. Unless you run into the next room to pick up your Bible, that's where you need to be running to, straight to the Word of God. You know, it's simply easy to withdraw and feel sorry for ourselves than it is to stand against the enemy. You know how many times, if you haven't done it, that you know somebody in your family, have a pity party with themselves. This didn't go right. That didn't go right. They don't have the finances. This didn't come through. And don't think a lot of people is not going to have brokenness this holiday season. A lot of people being laid off their jobs. A lot of them don't have the finances to do what they want to do for their family. But when you think about it, this is Jesus' birth, not on this particular date, but we celebrating Christmas because Jesus was born. Man have changed the date, but it's all about Jesus. It's not about spending $10,000 in debt. And come January, you so broken down and towed down from the floor up, you don't know which way to go. But God didn't require that. He didn't intend for you to be broken in spirit at all, no matter what's going on. You know, as I read in the Word of God, I'm fitting a change phone. Would you hold a minute?
Praise God, praise God. You know, no one can question Elijah's courage or commitment to God. You know, he regularly risked his life to dwell and to deliver God's message. My. You know, and right after he had called down God, fire from heaven and had destroyed the prophet of Baal. He ran when Jezebel threatened him. You know, in 1 Kings 9:4, he is found under a juniper tree, asking God to let him die. But instead, God comforted him. A lot of you all want to do that because you're going through a period of brokenness. He fed him and tell him to relax and rest. Later, when Elijah was refreshed, God sent him back into the battle. You know, there are times in all of our lives when we feel defeated and would like to simply get away from it all. We all say, you know, when we feel like that, well, the first thing we say, it's time for a vacation. It's time for me to put this town down. A little cliche, some people say, you know, I don't know if a matchbox will hold my clothes. They're so broken down in their spirit. They don't know which way to go. They'll say, if I had some money, I would fly to the utmost post. Don't even know what the utmost post was. They could go right down the street, but they're so broken down, they won't even get in the car. Put the windows down, drive, and let that wind just blow on you. Let God start speaking to you to raise you up out of what you're going through. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for calling to me, has logged in. Thank you for coming to the program today. Thank you. You know, as I read that in the Word of God, when Elijah was refreshed and God sent him back into the battle, he didn't take him out. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, there are times in all of our lives when we feel defeated and would like to simply get away from it all. If that happened to those between, 40 and 50 years of age, we usually label it as a mind-life crisis. You know, a lot of us say, I'm going through the menopause, or it's a life crisis, a cycle I'm going through right now. But reality, such crises come at every stage of life. It's just that at midlife, they are amplified by doubt about the future. Don't let doubt creep in, you all. You know, Paul must have had some real doubt about the difficulties he faced throughout his service to the Lord. But the overwhelming characteristic we see in Paul's letter is the ability to relax and enjoy life regardless of his external circumstances. You know, Paul was truly a broken man, but not a defeated one. God don't want us to be defeated today, you all that's listening in, by the chat line, those that called in. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produce a repentance without regard, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the word produced death. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and the 10th verse. You know, as we went through with brokenness today, brokenness, whether it is financially, physically, emotionally, or all three, has it the center purpose of teaching us to trust in God? You know, Paul knew that his tribulations were the result of constant stepping on Satan's toes. And that's what we have to do. We have to continue on stepping on Satan's toes. While I'm talking to you all right now, I'm over on the other end. I'm just stomping him down. Not just stepping on his toe. I'm just walking all over him right now. Because we're not going to let brokenness stand in our way. You know, there was neither pleasure nor enjoyable to Paul. But he knew there was necessary in order to build the courage of others. And we come today just to build the courage of those that's going through brokenness right now, feeling
that you have nothing to live for, feel it. All you can see is throwing in the towel. Feeling that you don't have an option. Oh, yes, today you got an option. You got Jesus Christ. And the word of God says, therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. You'll find that Ephesians 3 and 13. You know, as we get ready to begin to come, to wind down, to come to the close of our program today, I'm going to touch financial brokenness again. You know, God is in control of your finances right now. Those that may be listening to me, you don't have a job. You don't know where your next meal coming from. You feel like you're obligated to get everybody a gift for the holidays just because they gave you one or they may not have been able to give you one. Don't let that get you with a brokenness today. God is in control. If we are serving him, then nothing can befall us except that he allows it. It will rarely seem beneficiary at the time. But if we believe God's word, then we must believe he will ultimately receive the glory. And we know, I'm going to say that again. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You'll find that Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 28th verse. And I guarantee you, if you start reading Romans, the 8th chapter, from one all the way down, tell me, won't your circumstances change? Won't your mindset change? Won't you see the things that God is doing for you and for you and for your family? You know, an important aspect of God's work in our life is to teach God's people to love and care about each other. When Christians are suffering from a financial disaster, the last thing they need is an accusation. You know, in fact, they need help. So the testing of our faith through brokenness extends over to the testing of the faith of others through compassion. This year, going out, the next week and a half you have, if you haven't been doing it, start showing more compassion. No message in God's word is clearer than that of John. But whosoever has the world's good and behold his brother in need and close his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but in deed and truth. You'll find that in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 17th through the 18th verse. You know, as I come to a close of this broadcast, we are astonished to love with deed. You know, this is a prerequisite to having God's answer our prayer. If you are going through a period of trial and testing, don't get discouraged. Share your struggles honestly with those around you and get the prayer support and other support that God already provided. Remember that God does not want to break you spiritually. He desired that you and I conform to his son's image. To do that, we must have our ego
and pride broken. That means today, a lot of us have so much pride and that big, tall ego. It has to be broken. To get to where God wants to take you today, some of you all going to have to be broken. You feel that nobody loves you, nobody cares. They do. But God is taking you through a testing time right now. And when you're going through testing, it don't feel good. It's going to hurt in spite. We know because you're fleshly. Until you start getting more into the spirit, until you get to that plateau God wants you at, we go through tests and trials every day of our life. But we can just say, God, I'm holding on to your unchanging hand. No matter what the situation look like, no matter what the circumstances is, I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to throw in the towel. No, I don't know where this coming from. No, I don't know where I'm going. But I know you got an assignment from it. Prepare me for the assignment. The greatest men and women of God today, they didn't get there overnight. They went through some testing. They went through some trials. They went through some brokenness. They had to be broken down to the lowest common denominator. But I know if they would meet you today and tell you their testimony on the changes that they had to go through to get to where they are now, you think they just jumped up overnight. You may have seen them, and just because they had a smile on their face, they was crying on the inside. And sometimes you got to put a smile on your face to keep from crying. So today, I hope you all will help on the topic brokenness, not just broke in finances, broken in spirit, where God is taking you through a testing period. And for all of those that came on, thank you so much. I enjoyed you coming on. Sorry I wasn't able to go over to the chat room to Carla, unto me, thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you, area code 770-409, another 770-713. Thank you so much for coming on today. I give God the praise because it's not about me. It's all about him. And when we start doing what God wants us to do, we would be so much better off. Hallelujah. Thank you, calling to me. They typed in, what a blessing. Be blessed. Awesome show. Thank you so much. Thank you. I thank God because I give him all the praise, all the glory today because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. And before we leave the air, we will say a prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come this day just to say thank you. Thank you for the broadcast. Thank you for everyone that's listening in, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for those that will listen later on the archives, dear Heavenly Father. I'm asking you to let this brokenness, dear Heavenly Father, let them know that that pride and that ego, they can't get to where you want to take them because that pride is so high in that ego, you got to break them. To take them where you want them to go. Not where they want to go, but where you want to take them. God, we want to say thank you to Heavenly Father. Lord, we love you. Lord, we adore you. We magnify you and we glorify you. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. I thank you again for everyone that called in. And we have about 2 minutes. If anybody would like to come on and say anything, I give God the praise today for all that he's doing in each and every one of our lives. Because he is a mighty good God, a mighty, 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 mighty good God. Thank you so much. And I want you all to have a blessed and a prosperous week. Do tune in next week. I'll be doing two shows next week coming up to the holidays on Monday and on Wednesday, the regular day and on Monday. So please tune in, even if you're at home cooking. Just tune in. Put your phone on your loudspeaker because we'll have another exciting topic on next week that we will be bringing. And I think we're going to be talking about, I'm trying to remember the top of my head. I got it written down. But just tune in next week and hoping this broadcast today was able to help someone that has been broken. Feel there is no hope, but all the hope is in Jesus. Until next week, have a wonderful and a blessed day. Bye-bye.
I think I'm looking better, I'm gonna be when this is over.